If you were on a baking contest, like Great British Baking Show or something, and you had to recreate a scene from any monster movie using gingerbread, what would it be? Hello, and welcome to Camp Kaiju Monster Movie Podcast. We're your hosts, Vincent Hannum.
And Matt Levine.
And we're talking about all our favorite monster movies. The good, the bad, and even the downright campy. And asking if they stand the test of time.
Traditional kaiju, creature features, space invaders, the supernatural, and everything in between. All strange beasts welcome here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. We're all kind of trickling in here. I see lots of friendly faces. I see familiar faces. I see a new familiar face. Don the Superfan. Hello. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Don.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Don is a supporter and new Patreon member.
Oh, that's awesome.
Glad to be here.
Some of the best questions that we've gotten from any fans, I feel like they've all been from Don, so thank you very much. Yeah, good to see both of you as well, Sean, as always.
The feeling's likewise. I'm hoping everybody's having a nice holiday. I know things are chaotic in this country right now, but I hope that, like, each of you at least have a moment to give yourself some peace or peace of mind.
Thank you, Sean. That's very important to say. You said it perfectly, kind of dark times. I had an Uber ride with a driver today who was like, let me tell you about AI and how we're all screwed and how, like, 2 years from now, nobody will have a job anymore. The, like, AI overlords will rise up over humanity. Like, it will be a wasteland in, like, 2 or 3 years. And I was like, man, this is not what I need to hear right now.
No. So, no, not at all.
Did Sean, you tell what them you just that said
Haley Joel Osment wasn't the reason that AI is around?
Haley Joel Osment? Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yeah. If Steven Spielberg is right, and Kubrick, I guess.
Yeah. I love those kind of Uber rides, though. You just, when you get your driver who just, he's got a floor.
I sort of liked it, but I was also taking an Uber because my car was in the shop and I had to spend a lot of money to get it back. So I was not really in the mood for, like, a very stressful conversation, but, you know, that's all right.
You know, you should have, well... Yeah, I mean, his job is probably most at stake among jobs, right?
Well, you mean like Uber drivers?
Yeah, like driverless cars and things.
Oh, true. He did say that he also does coding. That's like his second job. And he was like, coding is also going to be an obsolete job. So
he needs a nap.
Yeah, or a therapist, maybe.
Yes. I forgot what I was going to say, but...
And let me just say that I was not trying to bring the conversation down. I was trying to say, Sean, thank you so much for what you said, because that's the energy that we need going into the holidays.
You're welcome. I'm just waiting to see your cat, like, jump in front of your camera. That's all I'm waiting on.
He's back there somewhere. He'll probably join us at some point, as he all often does.
I have an icebreaker question for everybody. And we can repeat this if more people show up, but if you were on a baking contest, like Great British Baking Show or something, and you had to recreate a scene from any monster movie using gingerbread, what would it be? For example, a gingerbread King Kong climbing a gingerbread skyscraper.
Wow.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, guys. Hi, happy holidays.
Too. Good to see you.
We'll do introductions in a little bit, but we're just, we have a fun icebreaker question. If you were on a baking show and you were tasked with recreating any scene from a monster movie using gingerbread houses, gingerbread people, what have you, gingerbread monsters, what would it be?
probably the scene where Hetera is like a blob because I can't cook. So making something in a blob gingerbread dough shape would probably be the most accurate. A toxic sludge. There we go.
The blob or the thing. Yeah.
I like that you approached it from the mindset of like, what will my excuse be when I am not able to make anything? Like, what will be a valid backup reason for that?
It's not for execution. It's abstract. There's a difference.
Yeah. Totally.
I would love to do a stop motion scene of this, the moment from Godzilla X Kong, where Kong is going up against all those other apes, then he has little Kong there, and then he picks up the little Kong and swings him at the other ones. So I want to see that done gingerbread style.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
I can picture it so vividly.
The last time I tried to make a gingerbread house, it kind of fell apart, so I just let it, if it fell apart, I'd just stick Godzilla's foot in the middle of it.
That's perfection. That
yeah.
Olson, what about you?
I'm thinking of the what's the like Godzilla movie from the mid 80s? Is it Return of Godzilla?
Yeah.
Where there's the scene where he's kind of collapsed against the skyscraper. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would be a good gingerbread house scene.
Nice. Like a sleeping Godzilla.
Yeah, I don't think I could pull it off. So I'm not thinking practically like Beth was and stuff. But it'd be a cool gingerbread scene.
If you build at least two gingerbread load bearing walls, I think you got it, homie.
I don't think I could do that. That sounds difficult.
All of our baking skills are on display here because not one of us is trying Mecha Godzilla. Not one of us. We're all like, no. Nope.
Mecha Gingerbreadzilla.
No comment.
Nope. I'm just gonna make a gingerbread Blackula and a coffin.
Amazing.
I'm gonna go with the scene in Jaws where Quint is being eaten and bitten in half. And I'm thinking I could use like raspberry effects for the gore and gingerbread boat, gingerbread shark.
Yeah. Wow.
Or a remake of Ginger Dead Man.
I've never seen that.
Me neither.
Me neither. That's something we should probably highlight.
All right, I'm going to cross off one of the titles in my list for next season and add that on there. It's a good reminder.
Is that the one with Gary Busey? Gingerbread
yes.
Band?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Okay. I think I saw that a really long time ago.
I feel like you could probably guess that Gary Busey's in that movie, like even if you didn't know the cast, you know? It just seems like the kind of thing that he would be in.
All right, Matt, you're up.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot. You know, because I kind of recapped the previous season earlier today, I thought of the scene in 20 Million Miles to Earth where Emir, the monster, is like up on top of the Colosseum and like throwing boulders down at like all the scientists and like Italian police and military and stuff. So I think that's what I would do. I would build like a gingerbread Colosseum and you could have like little gingerbread balls that like the beast could like throw down at everybody else. It'd be like interactive, you know? That's what I'm going to go with. That's ambitious, though, and I could not pull that off. So it's only hypothetical. Ambitious.
I believe in you, everybody. I just have to attend to my child who just woke up for like a quick minute. But while I'm doing that, Matt, you can lead. We can go and just do a formal introduction. Matt has some guidelines for what you can mention in that introduction.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me pull up this document here real quick. All right. It seems weird to only look at Vincent's blank screen right now, which is what I'm looking at. It seems kind of desolate, but I'll just ignore that for the moment. So here we are at the Camp Kaiju holiday party / season 6 preview episode. Thanks to everybody here on the episode for joining us. It's so wonderful to see everybody, all the guest stars that we had over the past season. So what Vincent wrote on this document is, for a little intro here, everybody can introduce themselves, their past appearances on Camp Kaiju. We did already answer the gingerbread baking contest, so we don't need to do that right now. So yeah, maybe just if you can all introduce yourselves and the episodes that you've been on Camp Kaiju, that would be great. And I'll kind of just go down the list on my Zoom screen here. So Frank Olson, do you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah, I think as of this recording anyway, I think I'm on the most recent one, which is The Addiction, the Abel Ferreira vampire movie. And also earlier this year, I was on the one about the Island of Dr. Moreau, the like notorious mid-90s one that was a huge disaster. And I've been on some others in the past too. I know we did Shin Godzilla. We did The Testament of Dr. Mabuse, which is not really a monster movie per se, but what else have I been on? Porco Rosso, we did a long time ago.
Which one? Sorry.
Porco Rosso.
Yeah, amazing.
Troll 2 we did.
I forgot about some of those.
Yeah, I feel like I'm forgetting some of the older ones, but yeah, I've been on a number of times.
Yeah, I feel like Island of Dr. Moreau has the record so far for the longest Google Doc, just because like the production backstory was like 20 pages on that, basically.
Yeah, that was the one where if we had just read the Wikipedia article verbatim, it would have been a fine episode, I think.
yeah. Fascinating, troubled movie in production, for sure. And yeah, Porco Rosso, I forgot about that. I would say that's actually my favorite Hayao Miyazaki movie. Maybe a minority opinion, but I was blown away by that movie.
Yeah, that's up there for me, too. I'm not sure what I'd say my favorite by him is. My favorite Studio Ghibli movie is Pan Poco, actually, which he did not direct. But
amazing.
Yeah, as far as Miyazaki, yeah, Porco Rosso might be my favorite as well. Yeah,
it's a good one. Flying pigs, you can't go wrong. Yeah. Yeah, you've been on a lot of great episodes. Thank you so much, Frank. I would actually say that there is one more recent episode that we recorded after The Addiction. So maybe on that note, I will ask Sean Childers to introduce himself and the episodes that he's been on recently.
I am glad I didn't dig in for any more popcorn just yet. yes, so hello, my name is Sean. I have been on 3 episodes so far, first one being Tusk, with also guest host Naomi Osborne. I was on Robot Jocks with our fellow other Sean here, Sean Pryor. And then lastly, I was just recently on Pacific Rim. I had to think for a second because I just recorded another thing this weekend. But yeah, I'm a big mecha guy, also known as Big Mecha, but not huge.
The name of your other podcast.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, Pacific Rim was fun. I feel like I was in the minority because I know you and Vincent love that movie, and I am somewhere more in the middle, but great conversation. I loved talking to you guys about that one. And Robot Jocks, those two go together perfectly.
Just beware, there's a box of bees coming your way.
Yeah, I'm terrified every time I open my mailbox. I know they're coming for me. Well, thank you, Sean. Maybe on that note, we should ask the other Sean, who's on that Robot Jocks episode, Sean Pryor. Are you able to introduce yourself?
Yes, indeed. My name is Sean Pryor. I'm an author. I write books of all kinds, comics, graphic novels, prose, storybooks, books about movies. As a matter of fact, one of those books was talked about on Camp Kaiju, Kaiju Unleashed. And that was the first time I had ever met Vincent and Matthew. And we had a fantastic time. They let me ramble for almost 2 hours. I had a wonderful time there. And then I came back with Sean Childers, and we did the Robot Jocks episode, a movie that I didn't realize how much I loved until I saw it in HD on Tubi, of all places. And I absolutely adore it. Like, I would get up, but like my office is such a mess because I haven't straightened it out yet. I've been here for a year, but I bought the 4-pack with Robot Jocks because it was on sale a couple of months ago, and I'm so excited this holiday season to sit down and like watch it multiple times.
Ah, I'm awesome. So happy for you. It's gonna be a good end to your year.
Thank you.
I was also blown away by Robot Jocks, which I would describe as a mix of Thunderbirds, Starship Troopers, and Pacific Rim, which is such a bizarre, like, I would imagine there's no other movie like that in cinema history. It's totally one of a kind.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, like, it's just like when we talked about, like, all the trials and tribulations in getting that movie finished, you know, and if it would have came out when it was originally supposed to, we may have gotten two or three legitimate sequels. So man, like, it breaks my heart with what could have been. That's like, I really think about that a lot, what could have been. But that was a really fun episode. Also, Sean did a very hilarious Russian accent.
You will not get another one at this time.
Always on cue. Love it.
Yeah. Man of a thousand voices. Well, on that note, Beth Breadlaw, you joined us for an episode earlier this season. Are you able to talk a little bit about that episode and your background and your kind of interest,
please?
Okay,
let me see if I remember. I think that was the post-G-Fest? I think that was, and then the Jun Fukuda continuing episode. Were we talking about Ebera on that episode, I think? Yeah.
We were.
Yes, my man. Yeah. You know, I think I kind of came on the scene because I've organized a Godzilla Fest here in my town of Bloomington, Indiana. And then I got the mayor to declare Godzilla Day. It was like a whole thing. And then I'm pretty much working towards my PhD right now in Godzilla. And I'm about to actually write my master's right now. So, and that'll be on Godzilla. And then I did a whole bunch of speaking appearances. I spoke twice at G-Fest 2025. So we're still waiting to hear about 2026. And I got Godzilla Fest 2026 up and planning in Bloomington, Indiana. It's going to be bigger and better this year. So... And yeah, just continuing to work. I have about two or three speaking academic conferences, conventions. So it is my mission to make Kaiju the academic subject, and I'm going to do it. So we're making waves, guys. We're gonna be serious. I'm gonna pave the way if I have to do it.
You don't have to do it alone. It's so great what you're doing and what everyone is doing. There are more introductions to be made. I don't want to segue yet, but
Don, the super fan, also should introduce himself. Sorry to jump in there, Vincent.
No, please go for it
if you're comfortable with that, Don.
Yeah, obviously haven't been on any episodes, but I've listened to a good chunk of them. I started listening, I think. Right now, I can't remember which the first one I listened to. I think I came across you guys first on you posted something on Instagram, and it happened to come into my feed, and a Godzilla podcast. I gotta check this out. and there was some other another one that I've listened to from time to time too. But I don't know what else to tell you. I work in healthcare. I'm been a long time. Movie and music fan of all kinds of different genres, so I've gotten more and more into the monster movies. I kind of always like them.
Very cool.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I kind of mentioned this before, you know, before we officially started the episode or whatever, but you still always have like the best comments and questions on like our YouTube page, and I think it's mostly YouTube. I don't know if it's on Instagram or not, but just thank you again for that. It's I always look forward to reading your comments on there.
Oh, very welcome.
Yeah, all-star lineup here. Thank you all for being here. It's so cool to just see and hear about all the different interests we all have, and we've converged in this virtual space called a podcast, which is so science fiction when you think about it, and it's amazing. There are others who, for whatever reason, haven't been able to join us tonight. I'm going to run down just quickly the movies we featured on our fifth season this past year in 2025 and give a shout out to those other guest hosts. So way back when, in January of last year, we started with The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. We went into Invasion of Astro Monster, and then something very different, Kevin Smith's Tusk and Sean Childers and Naomi Osborne was on that. Naomi came back. She wasn't done with us yet. We talked about Dracula's Daughter, the Universal movie from the 1930s. Then me and Matt winged it solo with Godzilla vs. Mothra from 1992. Then Island of Dr. Moreau. Then Invaders from Mars, some 1950s sci-fi. That's the 1953 version of that film. Aliens again of a different sort. The 1995 movie Species, which is just something you just have to see to believe. Back to traditional kaiju with Gamera the Giant Monster, that other big G, and then Swamp Thing from 1982, something a little different. Matt, that was your pick. It was my first time watching that movie. I just love Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Me and Beth, you and I talked at like 7 o'clock in the morning one day to talk about Godzilla Day. That's when we met, and you plugged your events with that. And then it was the Big Robot Jocks episode with Sean Pryor and Sean Childers. Naomi was back again for the hat trick with the Company of Wolves from 1984. We continued our lycanthropy four-legged theme with the Shaggy Dog, which was part of our ongoing Magic and Monsters special with guest host Patrick Kosicki. We dished on the 1959 Disney movie. Beth, you came back, and then we discussed Ebra, Horror of the Deep, a little bit. Matt, you finally introduced me to Congo from 1995. We had talking gorillas. It was bananas. After that, where do we go? Yeah, Matt, I gave you a treat. I gave you a little something to chew on. Jaws 2 from 1978. Then we went back to traditional kaiju with Space Amoeba from 1970. That was a fun episode and made me rethink that film a little bit. King Kong Lives, we followed with Ben Cook Feltz, who provides Armenia's Mailbox theme music, but he joined us as a full-blown guest host on King Kong Lives. Back to Weird Movie Land with 1979's Prophecy, in parentheses, the monster movie about a giant mutant bear. And then Magic and Monsters again with The Watcher in the Woods, a supernatural ghost story with Patrick Kosicki. New guest host Paul McGuire Grimes joined us to talk about The Phantom of the Opera, celebrating its 100th anniversary, the Lon Chaney feature. Doesn't look a day over 75, but, you know, happy birthday to The Phantom. Oh, Naomi was back. Just lurking in the wings with 20 million miles to Earth. We had Gappa, the Triphibian monster, doing its best to follow up the huge shadow of Harryhausen's 20 million miles to Earth. Spoiler alert, Gappa did not live up to the hype. But hey, maybe to some Gappa fans out there, no shame, no blame. Then we had a really fun random episode about the giant spider invasion from 1975, featuring the director and producer of that film, Bill Rabane. That episode was a journey of wills and hope and despair, but listen to it yourself and let us know what you think of that movie. Frank, you were back. You were with us with Island of Dr. Moreau. You escaped the island, found yourself in New York with a blood-sucking Christopher Walken, and decided to talk to us about the addiction. And then bringing up the rear, supporting the flanks, I don't know, leading the vanguard with Pacific Rim, Sean Childers, closing us out strong. So that was our rundown. Like upwards of 26 episodes, 25 movies, something like that, but It was a good episode. Good season. Varied. A lot of great voices. And I can't wait to talk about what's coming up next.
Same. This is my favorite recording every year, by the way. Our like preview and holiday episode. I love it. I always look forward to it.
Before we get to that, that announcing of season 6 for the first 6 months of the year. We have some games. We have some like trivia games, and you might not win more than bragging rights, but you know, we're all here to have fun. The points don't matter. I have some of my favorite trivia about the podcast. It's like podcast trivia that pulls in some of the movies we've talked about. You all ready?
One thing. When you were going to do Prophecy, I was not aware that it wasn't the Christopher Walken movie until after I started listening to it.
Yeah, I've never seen The Prophecy. I'm interested in that movie, though. Is it good?
I own the DVD and I haven't done anything with it.
Yo, I would say that, no.
No, okay.
But is it better than Prophecy the Monster movie?
I would say, once again, no. Like, there's two Christopher Walken movies that, like that are in this, like, realm of very weird, but, like, not really good, and one of them is The Prophecy, but then there's another one where he meets aliens, supposedly, and I forget what
it's called.
Are you
talking about Communion?
And I
with the Whitley Strieber movie?
Yes!
Yeah. And see, that's where I'm going to fight you, because that movie's amazing. That is Christopher Walken. Weirdness.
Well, no, I'm glad you appreciate it. Like, Lord knows I tried. I tried. I really did. And I was just like, I can't do this no more.
I'm so fascinated by, like, 90s, like, kind of, like, trashy sci-fi horror thrillers. Because, like, you know, I was, like, in my teens or, like, younger in the 90s. And, like, I just kind of didn't catch a lot of those when they first came out. And, like, usually I love revisiting those. So I believe you that The Prophecy is really bad, Sean, and yet I still am very excited to watch it someday. And Communion also.
Well, Godspeed.
Thank
Godspeed.
You.
Welcome.
I can't wait to see what Matt throws at us.
I feel like it might be disappointing, but maybe not. Hopefully not.
Never. All right. So I'll ask, here's my first question. This is around the kill count. So which of these three movies featured on Camp Kaiju season 5 had the most confirmed on-screen kills? And you can all say your answer out loud. I'll just tally. Everyone will get a point if you got the right answer. Actually, let me get some paper and a pen.
I'll try to keep score as well.
Okay, so our three movies. Which movie had the most kills? Was it Jaws 2 featuring Bruchette the shark? Was it Species featuring Syl, the alien woman hybrid? Or was it The Company of Wolves featuring just a bunch of hungry doggies?
The pedigree.
I'm gonna guess Species.
Who said that?
I did. Wild guess, but I'm gonna say okay. Species.
I concur.
Same. You concur? Mm-hmm. Is that a dog pun?
Whoa. I didn't think of that, but yes.
Yeah,
good obscure pun, Vincent. Wow.
I also say Species as well.
I'm going to say Jaws 2.
I'm going to be the odd woman out.
I don't know
the
answer,
Company
by the
of
way.
Werewolves.
Okay. keep going. Anyone else out there?
I didn't think there was a lot of deaths in the Company of Wolves. I'm going to say Species.
Okay. Don says Species. Beth says The Company of Wolves. Sean Pryor says species. Sean Childers says species?
Yep.
And Frank says
species.
Species. Wow. You give it up for our sleazy 90s monster movies. You all who said species was correct. That was the answer.
By the way, I did watch Species 2, hoping that it would like be even trashier and more fun than the first one. It is trashier, but it is not more fun. It's significantly worse, I would say. Sadly. But maybe the other Species sequels are great. Who knows? I probably will not watch them.
No, no, the other sequels are not. No, never. Never. I am a sincerely positive person, but there's also this thing of, I really want you to be able to enjoy the time you have. So don't watch those, please.
Life is too short, Matt.
Nice. I mean, that's good advice. I'll take that to heart.
Before you said the thing about being a positive person, I was like, man, Sean Pryor's been through some trauma, it seems like, watching the movies.
I really have.
For the love of the craft. So if you're curious out there, Species had 9 on-screen kills. Syl just goes to town, goes through people like no tomorrow. Bruchette the shark from Jaws 2 kills 7 people.
Oh, pretty close.
Yeah, it was close. And then there were 5 kills in the Company of Wolves. Various wolf attacks.
Some gnarly ones.
Yeah. All right. So if you said species, you have 1 point. If you didn't, you don't have any yet. But your time has come. Your time is coming. 2 more questions for me.
That was a threat.
Yeah.
Matt, do you have a question? Like a multiple choice question?
Yeah, for sure. First of all, I want to apologize because last night you texted me and you were like, please come up with some multiple choice questions for tonight. And I was like, oh, I'm on it. Thank you for the reminder. I'll do it. I came up with some trivia questions. They were not multiple choice. I just completely missed that part of your instruction. So I'm kind of frantically making multiple choice questions right now. Okay. That's my bad. But I do already have some ready to go. Where should we start here?
We are always very prepared when it comes to record an episode.
Let's see here. Let's go back to Congo because that was the first one that I brought to the podcast in this season. All right, here's my multiple choice question. The suits and animatronics for the gray gorillas, Amy the Good Gorilla, and the attacking hippopotamus were designed by what legendary makeup and special effects designer? Was it A, Rick Baker, B, Rob Bottin, C, Stan Winston, or D, Phil Tippett?
Stan Winston.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, hold on. I'm writing this down. I swear.
8 strong.
Okay. You guys can keep talking. I'll catch up.
I'm trying to make up my mind between Stan Winston and Phil Tippett. Because Phil Tippett was still in the midst of things in the 90s. So, but Stan Winston, that was the dude. You know what? I'm going to say Phil Tippett.
Nice. I like the originality.
I'm going to say Stan Winston.
Okay.
I'm going to go completely off everybody else. I'm going to say Rick Baker just in case. I know he was involved in a lot of big productions and hype movies, and actually heard an interview with him recently. So he was on another podcast. He was on a podcast with Carrie Byron and Tori Belacci from Mythbusters?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he worked with some of them in films and stuff and got, but was close friends with them now, and he was on there talking about Halloween stuff.
Oh, yeah. And I think he did an American Werewolf in London, if I remember right, yes. too, which is yeah. probably his best known work.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Amazing work in that.
Yeah. I could listen to Rick Baker talk all day long. Just his like love of film history and Hollywood makeup effects and yeah. Yeah, awesome. I truly don't know. I'm gonna say Stan Winston, but that almost seems too obvious to me. I would say Rob Bottin, but I don't think that was it either. You know, I'm gonna say Rob Bottin.
Nice. I'm glad you said that because I love Rob Bottin. He did The Thing, and I think he did The Howling, the Joe Dante movie, which I really love. So Rob Bottin is one of my personal favorites. I think he did The Fly, the Cronenberg movie as well. So yeah, Rob Bottin is up there for me. Did everybody guess already?
I think so.
Okay. Well, that question might have been a little bit too obvious because it was Stan Winston, indeed.
All right.
The next one will be harder. That was just a warm-up. Just you wait.
I think we got time for two more.
Okay.
So let me tally things up here. Okay.
Well, you're tallying that up. I'll just say I knew that answer because I remember, like, even as an 11-year-old or however old I was when Congo came out, I was, like, enough of a dork that I knew that that Stan Winston had done the effects on, like, Jurassic Park and Terminator 2. So I was like, oh, Congo's going to be awesome. And then it was not as good as those movies.
Yeah. Not quite awesome.
Yeah.
You were wearing a Rick Baker t-shirt while standing yeah. in line at 11 years old.
Yeah, Stan Winston. But yeah.
All right. I believe everyone is on the board. Our on top of the leaderboard with 2 points each, Frank Olson and Sean Pryor.
Nice.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I should only have 1 point. I said Phil Tippett for question two, and then the answer was Stan Wilson. Sean Childers should have 2 points.
Yes.
I would like to give half a point to Sean Pryor for stepping in on that.
Look, man, I can't be out here cheating, man. Times is hard on the boulevard.
Your integrity is an inspiration. Thank you. Okay. All right. Frank Olson and Sean Childers. All right. My next question is a Godzilla question. So this is it, everybody. Which of these featured on season 5 Camp Kaiju does not feature Godzilla in the movie? So I'm going to say 3 titles. 2 of them have Godzilla in the film. One of these movies does not. This is so easy. No pressure. Invasion of Astro Monster, Ebra Horror of the Deep, or Gappa the Triphibian Monster. I'll give you a harder one next time.
I feel like it should be super easy, but now I'm kind of doubting myself.
What was that last one again?
Gappa the Triphibian Monster.
Yo, I'm going to say Gaffa Gaffa.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gappa. Gappa Gappa. Gappa Gappa Gappa.
Yeah. Okay, great. Everyone gets a free point. Yeah. I'm too nice.
Can I let you in on a secret?
Very generous.
I haven't watched any of those.
That was also just a warm-up.
All right, Matt, though, you're going to give us a hard one.
Okay. All right, I feel like this is a little bit harder, and it also pays homage to Ray Harryhausen, one of the legends of visual effects. I guess that's my theme that I'm running with tonight. But my question is about 20 Million Miles to Earth, but it also refers to other Harryhausen movies as well. The question is, what was the name of the cinematographic process that Ray Harryhausen invented that revolutionized the interaction of background, foreground, and live actors when using stop-motion animation? Is it A, Animatrix, B, Projectivision, C, Clavistamax, or D, Dynamation?
Can you say all those slower and in a lower voice, please?
Whoa, I'll try.
Matrix.
I sort of have a scratchy throat, so I don't know if I can. Or you would think I'd be able to, but... Okay. A. Animatrix. B. Projectivision. C. Clavistimax. D. Dynamation.
I feel like Dynamation sounds the least made up, so that's going to be my answer. Yeah, I don't know the answer, but that's going to be my guess. Yeah.
Dynamation.
I want to go Animatrix just because I love that series of films, but it's going to be Dynamation.
What were the other options again? I already forgot. There's Dynamation. What were they?
There's Animatrix, Projectivision, Dynamation, and there's one other one.
Clavistimax is the other one. Thank you for remembering those, Sean. I'm impressed.
Oh, hey, no. I wrote it down. I wrote it down. This can barely hold anything anymore. So. Yeah, I wrote it down. I'm like trying to decide between Projectivision or Dynamation. Projectivision sounds a little too generic. That sounds like something Magnavox would have used in the 70s. So I'm going to go with Dynamotion too. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to follow suit just because I haven't really even heard of anything else. Like, I feel like we would have heard about these other things at some point.
That makes sense. Yeah. I think everybody guessed, right? Was that everybody? Once again, pretty much everybody gets it right. I think everybody does. It's Dynamation.
The problem is, Matt, we have a room full of kaiju experts here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, I'm fine.
I accept your challenge, Fred. I have two questions. These will be the last two that are related to the actual show with some of our data, if you will. But it's still around the titles and things. So my question is, which decade was most represented? Meaning we chose X number of movies from the 1980s, X number of movies from the 1950s. Which decade featured the most on Camp Kaiju Season 5? Come on, play back this way.
Go ahead, Mr. Childers. The floor is yours, sir. The floor is yours.
I was going to say, I'm going to jump in and do the 70s.
Damn it, you took my answer.
Share it with me.
I will share it with you. Yes, I will share it with you. I too select the 70s. Yes.
Okay.
Afros and bell bottoms and monsters, baby. Let's go.
I really don't know, but I'm going to guess the 90s.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like Robot Jocks, The Addiction, Species.
See, I was pulling 90s at first, but then I'm like, you know what? No, that sounds too easy. It's got to be 70s.
Yeah, it might be. I really don't know.
I feel like I should know, but I don't, so I'm still going to guess if that's all right. I would say the 50s, because I was thinking like Invaders from Mars, Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, 20 Million Miles to Earth, and a couple of the kaiju movies. So I'm going to throw out the 1950s.
All right.
I was thinking along the same lines as Matt. I think we just barely, there might be more than from the 50s. It's close.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
okay.
Beth?
I was only on the episodes in the 60s, so I want to say the 60s, but no, I'm going to say the 90s. I'm going to say you did more in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
Woo! All right. I loved everyone's thought processes, but we actually had two decades tied at five apiece. The 1980s, nobody guessed. And the 1990s.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'm just having a hard time breathing. It has nothing to do with me being in shock.
There were four movies featured in both from both the 1970s and the 1960s. Big kaiju decades, the 60s especially. So fair share there. The 1950s also we had four movies from as well. So not a bad guess for our 50s guests here. And we had one movie from the 2010s, one movie from the 1930s, one movie from the 1920s, and then that's it.
I can't think of any 80s movies we talked about. Company of Wolves, that because that was like 89, right?
84.
Okay.
Robot Jocks is technically a 1989 release. It had its premiere in 89, but it was like released the next year.
Mm.
Okay. But I counted it in the 1980s.
That's fair. I'll have to look into the other ones on my own because I have a bad memory. They're not coming to me. But that's all right. That's a different topic.
Yeah. All right. Last one I got for you. Folks, which of the following films has the highest average rating on Letterboxd?
Ooh.
Was it Space Amoeba, King Kong Lives, or Tusk?
My God.
I'm going to jump in on that one just because I was part of that, but I think Tusk has had a resurgence ever since it became available widely. So
I'm
going to
second that. I'm going to say Tusk just by soul engagement and popularity. I just don't think anyone has seen the other two. Like, I mean, unless they're in our community, more people have seen Tusk.
Okay.
I too will say Tusk because for as much as I want the whole world to watch Space Amoeba at least once, that is yet to happen. We have not come together as a collective and watched it as a whole, but that's okay. One day it will happen. But until then, Tusk, because that's a weird ass movie.
Yeah, I feel like I'm also gonna say Tusk, just because that's the one of those three that really has a cult following, whereas the others I don't think really do. So yeah, I'll say Tusk.
You say cult following, and I've got a bunch of walrus shirts right now. So just saying.
All right, that was terrifying. What do you think, Don?
I think I'm gonna have to go with the Tusk as well, just because it's the most recent. Like you said, it's got a lot of word of mouth. A lot of people have been talking about it, and the people who are involved. Yeah, I think being newest and people talking about it, I'd have to go with that one.
And who doesn't watching Justin Long get abused? It has just become a thing that we're all enjoying. Every Justin Long film, we're all right, let's go beat him up.
Barbarian.
Yeah. Matt, do you have a thought? Do you know? If you know, don't take a guess, but
I don't know for sure. I do think Tusk is probably the right answer, but I'm just gonna shout out my own favorite of those three and say Space Amoeba, because I love that movie and I love that title. I think I'm wrong, but I'm still gonna say it.
Well, everybody, your super easygoing host Vincent Hannum has hobbled you all. Tusk is wrong. We're all wrong.
I can see why.
Space Amoeba has the average highest rating, 3 out of 5.
Shocking. Wow. Absolutely shocking. Wow. I guess more people have watched it. Good for them.
Or those who have seen it just consistently rated a 3. Because I'll tell you, Tusk, its average rating is 2.4.
That makes sense.
But if you look at the graph, it's all over the place. There's a bunch at I gave it 4 stars. Matt, you gave it 2 stars. So that's what we're talking about with Tusk.
Yeah. And also with Space Amoeba, I did create 100 fake Letterboxd accounts and give that movie 5 stars over and over again. So that might be why. I'd confess.
That's playing the long game.
Yep. That's what I spend my time on.
And King Kong Lives has a 2.2. That's the lowest of the three. Yeah, there you go. Very interesting. If I do say so myself. And yes, we're here to champion Space Amoeba.
Among other movies, of course.
All right. Well, let me tally those up, talk amongst yourselves, and then in a minute, me and Matt will talk about the next season.
Have either of you, anybody in here, seen the Halloween VHS movie recently? It was either... No, it's not this last one, but the one before. Justin Long actually did his own version of Tusk for that particular movie, and it's just like people being turned into pets. It's wild.
That no. Nope. Ain't gonna happen. Not in this house.
Nope. Yeah, he made an appearance in Weapons, and I was like, oh, what's gonna happen? Are we gonna watch him? But he makes it through Weapons unscathed. Unscathed.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Oh, is he one of the... He's one of, like, the parents of the school children in Weapons, right? I forgot about that.
Oh, well, yeah. He's in it just very briefly. That's right. I totally forgot about that,
too. Well, yeah, we forgot, because he wasn't, like, murdered and ripped apart.
But, yep. Yeah, it's when Josh Brolin is going around to the different houses. Yeah, that's... I do remember that now.
The one movie where Justin Long doesn't die.
Yeah. I also love... Well, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but Drag Me to Hell is a good movie. It's a very campy, fun movie, and Justin Long's a lot of fun in that one, too. Check it out if you haven't seen that.
I love that movie, especially with the talking goat head.
Yeah, yeah. That whole, like, seance scene is really amazing.
I've only seen it once when it came out, and it's one of those that I've always remembered loving. I had such a great time at the theater. Sam Raimi doing his Evil Dead bit.
Yep.
Just in a slightly different format. Yeah.
Yeah. Really great ending to that movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever done the Evil Dead movies on the podcast?
I don't think we have.
It's a bit of a blind spot. What we did do, Matt, we did do an episode on the most recent one.
Yeah.
The remake. Evil Dead. I don't even remember the name of it.
Rise.
Yeah, that was
Rise?
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was all right. It had its moments.
Yeah.
Not as good as the original trilogy, though. I really love, especially the first two Evil Dead movies.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll talk about those someday.
You got to at some point. I just feel like... And Army of Darkness, does it stand the test of time? We love it, but it's like the type of movie I'd love to dig into a little bit more critically.
Yeah, I need to rewatch that.
I almost feel like these movies at this point are like canon. You know what I mean? Like they've been around long enough. Like regardless, like they're just now canon within film history. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, you're all dying to know. Frank, you won the game. Congratulations.
Hooray.
With 5 points. Sean Childers and Beth, you had 4 points each, and then Sean Pryor and Don, you had 3 points each. A pretty good showing by all.
Yeah.
I just want to say the only answer I knew for sure was that Stan Winston Congo one, but good guesser, I guess.
Your boyhood love for Congo came through after all.
That's the first movie I ever saw in theaters, like, without my... Maybe not without my parents, but without, like, an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So, even though it was not a good movie, it, like... I don't know. I guess that's sort of an important place in my life.
Nostalgia value.
Yeah.
Milestone.
Yeah.
We remember those movies.
Yeah. I would put that in the guilty pleasure category, by the way, Congo. There are some things I like about that one. Just want to say. Herkimer Homolka, what a great character name. Best character name of all time.
All right, Matt, you got any other guilty pleasures coming up in 2026?
Oh.
Are you ready to... I mean, I can go first, but are you ready to reveal these to our listeners?
I'm ready. I have a list of about 10, so I have some backups just in case you take any of mine.
Okay, well... Hope you don't take any of mine.
All right.
Listeners out there, me and Matt have not discussed these at all. This is a delightful surprise. Okay. So kicking us off in January 2026. Ay, ay, ay. Is Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2 from 1993. Yep. Heisei era that Matt and I have been... steadily working our way through over the course of this podcast, we ended up committing to going through that era sequentially, which I think you have. I think it makes a lot of sense to do that. So Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2, Baby Godzilla, Godzilla Jr. is in it. Rodan is in it. It's a fun action sci-fi fantasy movie, really. Very excited.
I'm also very excited. The third title on my list was Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2. So right off the bat, you took one of mine. But that's great. I love it. Very excited to talk about it. Like you said, I like everything that we've watched from the Heisei era so far. So hopefully we can keep that going. All right, maybe my first choice then. Not a Godzilla movie, but also a certain kind of classic studio monster movie. I'm going to say The Abominable Snowman of the Himalayas from 1957. This is a Hammer horror movie, a classic British studio. I've never seen this movie, but it's supposed to be one of their best. I've read that it's like very underrated. It stars Peter Cushing, directed by Val Guest, who's kind of an underrated horror director. Excited to watch it.
Peter Cushing, that's all you had to say. That's mm-hmm. all you had to say. Mm-hmm.
Legend, oh, yep.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And that's going to... That's gonna be our first Hammer feature on the podcast.
Yeah, we've been meaning to bring a Hammer film here for a while, and you know, the Hammer stuff that I've seen is kind of hit or miss, I would say, so far. But like, the good stuff is really good and a lot of fun. So, looking forward to this one.
The Abominable Snowman of the Himalayas. I honestly have never even heard of it. I thought you'd go with Frankenstein or Dracula or something, but heck yeah.
Trying to pick an under the radar one, and it's like pretty easy to find streaming, so you know,
awesome. Yeah,
I think it came into play as well.
All right, well, in February we are going to get our Dracula on, our Blackula on, from 1972. Blackula, blaxploitation. And this actually wasn't really my pick. I came to this with the help of Sean Pryor. Sean, if you want to, do you want to talk about why you chose this movie?
I chose this movie because, like, it's you know, it takes place during the blaxploitation era, and like, you know, the blaxploitation era has its good films, its bad films, its positive qualities as well as its negative. However, Blackula fascinates me because it's a film that has no right to be as good as it is. And a lot of that is due to the actor who played Blackula. His name is slipping my mind right now, but he also played the King of Cartoons in Pee-wee's Playhouse. Okay. And so, he took, like, you know, he went to the director and was like, look, we need to change some things about the character, is Blackula's origin and all these other things. And there's so many like really cool things that I personally feel like, with me, I always think about what could have been, because like you see like a young Denise Nicholas who honestly should have been like, you know, a primetime player. She's still like, even if she wasn't a primetime player, she still could have been a scream queen if she wanted that. And so like, you know, what she does is great. There's another actor, Thalmas Rasala, I believe his name is. Like, he could have had his own series of, like, Van Helsing-style movies chasing down, you know, monsters and vampires and stuff. Like, there are really cool things. And there, yes, there's moments and there's lulls, but, like, they did a lot, for me personally, they did a lot with little to nothing. And so it's just a movie that like I like to share with everybody. There's a couple of places where it gets a little problematic because it's the 70s. We're still learning certain languages. We're still saying things we shouldn't say. But on the whole, I simply love that movie. I've loved it since I was a child. And like, I don't watch a lot of horror. Like, I get scared very easily. But like, I watched that as a kid with my mother when I was 6. On like just regular television, and like I was just captivated by it. So that's those are my reasons.
That's so great, Sean. And I've always heard of Blackula. I've never seen it, so I'm very eager and thrilled to dig into it.
Yes, and remember, the tagline for that film is, his bite was out of sight.
Perfect.
Amazing. I'm embarrassed to say I've never seen that movie, so thank you, Sean and Vincent, for bringing that. I'm very excited to watch that. I like it when you go first, Vincent, because I can make kind of like double features a little bit in my mind, you know, when I say the other follow-up title. So one of the movies on my list is called Alucarda. It's a Mexican horror film from 1977, also like it's basically a Mexican version of Dracula, directed by who is supposed to be one of the best Mexican horror directors of all time, Juan López Moctezuma. I've never seen it before. I like from the stills that I've seen, it looks beautiful and fantastic. I feel like it would pair well, hopefully, with Blackula. So Alucarda is my pick for February.
Alucarda?
Yeah.
Spanish language, I'm assuming.
Yes, yeah. But also, like, you know, you can find it streaming. I made sure that you can, like, locate it somehow. So, but it's kind of an under-the-radar title. And I was like, I want to choose a Mexican horror movie. And this was, like, on the list of the most underrated. So we'll see.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's a good... It's, again, 1970s. Fascinating double feature. I will have to watch those back-to-back.
Oh, yeah.
But then what a great segue, because following that, I'm bringing... It's a newer kaiju movie from 2011. Can anyone take a guess? And it's in Norwegian. It's a Norwegian film. Beth, do you know it?
What is it, like Troll or Troll Hunter?
Troll Hunter. Yeah. I saw it once when it came out, and I haven't seen it since, so I'm eager to get back to it. I remember the special effects being really good, surprisingly good, for this foreign Norwegian movie about a giant troll and troll hunters. And it's contemporary modern setting as they travel around Scandinavia searching for trolls.
I've always wanted to watch that because I ended up running a movie called Headhunter, completely different. I definitely wanted to watch that one.
Yeah, I've always wanted to see Troll Hunter too. Thank you, Vincent. I feel like we're kind of doing like a little global tour here. I don't know like if that was unintentional or not, but I chose an English movie and then a Mexican movie. And then I think to go along with Troll Hunter, I'll choose another foreign movie. At Midnight, I'll Take Your Soul, which is a Brazilian movie from 1964. We actually talked about this recently because this was on our list of like horror movies made around this time in horror history. And I had seen this a long time ago back in college and really loved it. It's about this character named Coffin Joe, who sort of became this like legendary sort of folktale horror character in Brazilian cinema. And At Midnight, I'll Take Your Soul was the first appearance of Coffin Joe. And he plays an undertaker on a quest to achieve immortality, obviously in very gruesome and monstrous ways.
All right. I'm laughing just because I get so, you know, the anticipation already. I'm immediately making a list, seeing where I can watch these movies. It gets me through the year sometimes when I'm like, totally. When I've got a list to go to. Okay, man, I'm actually... And I'm doing, and this is a good reminder to listeners out there, our lists can change at any point in the year depending on circumstances that come up, but I'm going to pick a movie, another giant monster movie, maybe in the kaiju genre, but it is from 1957, and it is called The Black Scorpion, which features, it's actually set in Mexico, coincidentally. But it features stop-motion effects by Willis O'Brien. So late-career Willis O'Brien, the, you know, creator of King Kong, the mentor of Ray Harryhausen. So I think this movie has a lot of good, bad, and campy in it. But if you're... you're scared of spiders. Are you scared of scorpions? How do you feel about them?
Scorpions don't really bother me too much, although I feel like... A giant one might be kind of a different story, so we'll see how that goes.
Hey, they're pretty gross in this movie. It's like Willis O'Brien went for it.
Oh, man, he's trying to give little kids nightmares.
Yeah, a little bit. There's a little kid in it, too. So we have another kaiju movie with a little kid protagonist, but it's like 20 million miles to Earth-esque.
Cool.
Oh, not too cutesy, but there's a kid in it.
Nice.
All right.
Well, again, I feel like there's a great natural double feature that we can do. The first title on my list, I didn't want to say right away because I was worried that it might be on your list as well. And ideally, maybe we would have talked about it this past year in 2025, but it'll be a little bit belated. I'm going to choose The Lost World, also with effects by Willis O'Brien, from 1925. Hey. So it was the centennial of that movie this past year. You know, kind of the granddaddy of all dinosaur monster movies, pioneering stop motion animation. So we'll do Willis O'Brien month.
Amazing. I love that. And you know what? I just pulled the Black Scorpion out of my pocket. I read it the last second.
Really?
I was going to go with It Came from Outer Space from 1953. Which I do love near and dear, but in the last second, something about giant scorpions was calling to me.
I love that.
So it's great. Willis O'Brien. It was the ghost of Willis O'Brien calling to me.
Yeah.
It's Willis O'Brien month. All right. Well, after that, we're going to get back to some Japanese kaiju. God, a movie that I have wanted to bring for so long. It's not a Godzilla movie, but it's in a Shiro Honda film. The War of the Gargantuas. Dun, dun, dun. From 1966. Technically the sequel to Frankenstein Conquers the World, though you wouldn't know it.
Yep.
If only Nick Adams had been in it, but I'll save it for the podcast.
There will be some impersonations, I know.
The War of the Gargantuas. If you haven't seen it, you're in for a treat.
I've heard you talk about it often. I'm very excited to watch that. I love Ishiro Honda. He can do no wrong by me. So I love that. I unfortunately don't really have any other Japanese kaiju movies on my list. Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 2 was the only one I had on my list, which probably should have had some backups. But I think I know what I'm going to choose for this month. We can have a War of the ... theme, because I'm going to choose the original War of the Worlds from 1953.
All right.
The original film version of the H.G. Wells classic. All the clips and the images that I've seen from that always look like really beautiful and stylish and cool old-fashioned special effects. But I've never seen it all the way through, so excited to give that a chance.
I was just thinking about that movie. That's fantastic coincidence. And I'm glad you didn't say the 2025 Ice Cube War of the Worlds.
I am morbidly curious about that. Has anybody else seen?
No. Listen
to Sean.
As a fellow black man, let me tell you something. That is, without a shadow of a doubt, one of the worst screen movies I have ever witnessed in my entire life, okay? Because, that whole film is part of a certain genre where basically everything takes place on one screen, okay? Or one area, all right? And so you just got Ice Cube sitting in this room, you know, a special secret government room because he works for the government, you know, which I already automatically have a conflict with because I know the Ice Cube we have now is not the Ice Cube from the 1980s. That's the one I grew up on, you know, and I'm just like, you working for the government? Come on, Cube. This don't work. No. But he knows everything about computers. He can even hack his daughter's refrigerator to find out what she's been eating and not eating because she's pregnant. Anyway, anytime something happens, there's an explosion or something, Ice Cube's making weird faces at the screen, and he's always yelling, and I will not do my Ice Cube imitation on this podcast, but he's always yelling. But the funniest part, and if you ever watch it, if you just watch the last 10 or 15 minutes, they have to basically, I'm doing a spoiler, I'm spoiling this. Human being should watch this film. No human being should watch this film. Anywho, what happens is that he has to upload a virus to make the aliens die or whatever. And he is running down the hallway. And he's just screaming. I forget what he's screaming, but he's screaming it repeatedly. And all I could do was laugh. I was like, this is the most unserious film I've watched in a while. And I've watched a lot of unserious movies. it is literally it's also an Amazon
It's basically an Amazon advertisement.
Doesn't that film fall within that COVID period? So it has that nice, like,
yes.
Like you talk about, like I hope in like 20 years we can look back and put this as like the COVID film, the way like, you know, he doesn't interact and it's on screen. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like it was filmed during COVID and they just didn't, but like it was so bad. They just didn't release it until this year. And so, yeah, like, no. I wouldn't suggest that film to like my worst enemy.
Okay. I have to admit, some of that sounds kind of funny. I still kind of want to see it, but
oh yeah,
you know, there's a running theme of you telling me not to like waste valuable time.
You will laugh. Seriously, you will laugh because every time you hear Cube yell, "Get on there!" Like every time you hear him yell that, you just start like mad.
All right. Well, sure. We won't bring it to the podcast this season, but maybe sometime in the future.
Or maybe it's my next pick. Not. My next pick is something that also has a pretty rotten critical consensus, although I think the popular consensus is a little bit more generous than Ice Cube's War of the Worlds. 1986, Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive.
Wow.
Oh my.
Oh, the reactions.
Never seen it. I've always wanted to.
Great soundtrack.
Yep.
I was first aware of the movie first through the soundtrack, and then I finally got around to watching it last year or so. And I went, oh my goodness gracious, this is begging for the Camp Kaiju treatment. So, yeah, Maximum Overdrive. Killer cars and trucks and other sorts of machines from an alien being infests the machines of the world. And Emilio Estevez is there to save the day.
And the greatest Stephen King cameo.
Ooh. I don't even recall. I know he directed it.
He's got a very short cameo. It's hilarious.
Okay. And that was like,
right, it's near the beginning.
Wow.
I can't wait.
Yeah. That was like Stephen King at the height of his cocaine era, I think.
Oh, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting to watch.
That's what I like, the backstory of this movie. He was directing
it wild.
And apparently doesn't remember directing it, which could explain a lot of what you see on screen.
Absolutely.
Huh. I'm excited.
Please tell me that you're following up with The Happening.
Oh, man. I just rewatched The Happening recently, and that's a pretty funny movie, but it has a limited replay value, perhaps. I'll just say that. Maximum Overdrive. Sorry about my cat, by the way. Maximum Overdrive does kind of remind me of Killdozer, which is among my least favorite movies we've talked about on Camp Kaiju so far. But I think Maximum Overdrive will be more entertaining than Killdozer, hopefully. But I love that you chose that, because I have another Stephen King-related movie on my list, Children of the Corn from 1984. Which
Outlander. Outlander.
Is that from that movie? I have no idea. I've never seen it.
I've seen it too many times.
Okay. I can't tell if you're glad that I'm bringing it to the podcast.
I'm glad.
Okay.
I'm glad.
All right. I've heard it's bad as a movie. I mean, I will not be surprised if it is, but you know, bad Stephen King. That'll be the theme of the month.
80s Stephen King.
Cocaine era Stephen King.
Yeah. We should make posters for that. Yes. That'd be amazing.
Call it the Snowmobile.
Oh, perfect.
Hey, listen, like if Taylor Swift can have her own era, you know, so can Stephen King.
There you go.
You know? Oh, by the way, looks like Zach Linder is also on the call now. If you don't see him on your screen, he is here on the show.
I did. Thank you. Hello, Zach. We were just wrapping up, but glad you could pop in. Would you care to introduce yourself briefly? And
I'm Zach Linder. I run the Zach Pack. I guess I help sponsor it. Love Vincent. Grew up with him. Went to high school together. Big fan of what you guys do, and. You know, I don't really have much in the terms of like production or anything like that, but love that you guys are producing the show. Hope you keep growing. Let me know what you guys need. Would help you however I can. So
thank you, Zach.
Thank you, Zach.
Eternally grateful.
Yep, yep. And I definitely want to talk to you more about Thor here in the near future, but that can be a sidebar separate from this. So
yeah. All right, stick around though if you want to. We're just wrap it up, like I said, but you're pretty happy to stick around.
For sure.
Okay. That brings us to July, friends. July will be Kaijuli. We don't have those titles yet. Maybe we would be open to our guest hosts pitching us some ideas. our listeners, if you want to chime in for July. But I think what we have to start with is pretty monstrous.
I see what you did there.
I had to. Good stuff, Matt. I'm excited.
Yeah, likewise. Me too. Hopefully everybody else is excited as well, and hopefully we'll have some guest stars this season. I'm sure we will, but some good stuff for sure. And I do like the kind of like international vibe that we at least start off with and then go back to some campy stuff. That'll be fun.
I love your idea of themed pairs and double features. So yeah, Willis O'Brien, Stephen King, International Pictures. It's gonna be, they had like a smorgasbord.
Yeah, which I think we always try to do. You know, that's always one of the pleasures of Camp Kaiju. It's strange beasts, the supernatural, and everything in between.
Yeah, or and when we got War of the Gargantuas in there too. Some Godzilla. So
awesome. Yeah.
All right, guests, let us know if you want to be a guest on any of those episodes. Happy to have you back. This show grew a lot the past year. I don't have hard numbers, but I have like my mind numbers. I do look at my data every hour, but working on that for my own self, but at the start of the year, I think within a week, episodes were averaging 70. No, within 2 weeks, it was like 70 downloads. Now within 2 weeks, it's 100 plus. So
nice.
Yeah. And like our episodes that do really well, you know, they reached those numbers within 2 weeks, which is really great for a podcast. This is our sixth year doing it, so it does take a lot of time, but it's made so much more easier and worthwhile with people like you helping out and supporting in all the ways you do. Thank you. It's a good feeling.
Yes, thank you. It's always fun having guest stars, of course, you know, just chatting with Vincent is always fun too, but like it's always a little extra special when we have guest stars and like reading comments from people out there and everything, so that's what makes it especially fun.
Yeah. All right, well, keep in touch. Happy holidays, and have a happy new year, you filthy animals.
Nice.
Is Peter?
Hey, Don's got it.
Is Peter Lorre coming back next year?
Peter will be back. He declined my invite. How rude! No, he's on a honeymoon of sorts right now with his raven lady friend. It's a thing that will be revealed in the Pacific Rim episode. But he needs some time away for a little bit.
Okay.
He's gone through some things, but he'll be back.
I have to say, a few months back, I was listening to the Tusk episode, like way after you guys put it out and everything. I watched the movie and then listened to it. And the Peter Lorre part on that one, there's a part where he refers to Pierre as his bosom buddy. And I was listening to that on like AirPods in the break room at my work, and I could not stop laughing, and I probably looked like an insane person just, you know, laughing at what seemed like nothing to anybody who couldn't hear inside my AirPods, but that phrase made me laugh really hard.
Peter has had many strange bedfellows in the past year. Again, he needs a break. But he'll be back in January.
All I can say is, and I've listened to this episode multiple times, it's when Peter Lorre escapes from the plant that tried to eat him and leaves such a mess, and like Peter's so mad at Matthew for not helping clean up, and he was like, I can't even get any help. And like he starts to imitate Matthew, he's like, you know, maybe you could use a spade and a shovel, Peter. And like, man, I just lose it every single time. Perhaps I can lend you a hand, Peter. Would you like a spade and shovel, Peter? And he's like, curse you. And it just makes me laugh so much. Like, it, like those segments bring so much joy. And the Minions mailbox music, I freaking love it. Like, I absolutely, like, it just, it makes you happy.
Good,
like,
yeah.
That one of the most annoying characters in the history of Godzilla has the greatest greatest mailbox music of all time. So yeah. No, you know, y'all do some really great things, and like, you know, all of us that have been on the show support the show. It's an amazing thing what y'all do, and we're very thankful for that. I don't mean to hog up all the space, but you are appreciated. All of you are appreciated, and I appreciate y'all allowing me to be a part of this community as well.
Yeah, right back at you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean, and thank you, Vincent, for everything you do.
Hasta luego, bala ventana.
Happy holidays.